Thank you for joining us at Fellowship Church. For additional information, check us out at fconline.tv.
Today and this weekend, my nickname I've given myself is pinch hitter. It's a baseball term. I don't like baseball. I never really have, but I've heard that it's a term, and I think it means you're batting for somebody else or something like that. I really don't know. But Anthony had some things to do and had some things to take care of, and so he asked me at about 11 o'clock yesterday if I would speak. And yes, I talked about fears and confidence and all that last weekend, and then God decided to test me in that, and so I obviously said, yes, I'm here, and I immediately sat down and prayed and said, Jesus, you got to show up for this because I don't have a lot of time, and I want you to give me a message that I can deliver for this time and this place to these people that is going to move us in this season. And so that's what I'm trusting for, and that's what I hope that you can have faith for. We've talked about faith for the last few weeks, and that's where I'm at. So let's just join me in that, and I believe wholeheartedly that this is a message that Jesus gave to me yesterday for us in this time and this place. There's no accidents with God. Nothing surprises him. Nothing takes him off guard, and that's comforting. It's very annoying that I can't control everything, but it's comforting knowing that I serve a God who controls all. And no matter what, he's got it. Like, I can rest in that. I can panic and all that, but I can rest in the fact that I believe and trust in a God and serve a God that's got it. He's done way more than I could ever ask or imagine already. And we talked about that all last week. And so I'm standing on that today. I'm not apologizing at all for being the one that's up here. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. You get me today, okay? And I've got to be here. You've got to be here. We're all going to run through this. So that's my welcome to you in this room. That's my welcome to you online. That's my welcome to you that is listening on the podcast. I'm just being real. Like, I can't be anything else. You can ask any of my family. You're going to get the truth from me. Like, you're going to hear what I think. And you're gonna, and hopefully there's some sort of a filter applied to that today. So we're still in Mark chapter 6, and you can follow along on the screen. You can follow along in YouVersion. We put the verses in there so that you can check us, because you want to make sure that we're actually teaching from the Bible that we say that we're teaching from. So please read it. This is not a place for you to come and expect that we are gonna read the Bible to you. So you can't expect that, but don't expect that we're the only source of that. And I would challenge you to check our work and read your Bible and see what Jesus has to say to you in a personal setting, as well as when we join each other here. So there's a few things that I want to get to before. That's just kind of your intro and your time to get out your paper Bible if you still have one of those. Get out your phone if you want to follow along. But I have a couple of house cleaning things that I don't like to do, but I'm told I have to do it. So we have small groups coming up, and not that I don't like small groups. I love small groups. I think they're great. And if you don't think they're great, you're wrong, and you need to do them, okay? So we have a lot of them that you can choose from. You can sign up for them. That is truly where church happens. If you've ever come to church and like, I just don't connect, like the people are distant, all that kind of stuff, you've never been in a small group. And if you've been in a small group and you didn't like it, get a different one, because that's where church happens. That's where truly God will meet you. You will see God work in great ways in people. It's where you can be transparent. You can connect with other people. And you just, as awkward as it can be sometimes, because I'm not going to lie to you, it can be awkward. We need that. That's what we're called to be, is to be this family. And we that's where it happens, is in small groups. So please, 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 if you've never been in a small group, sign up for one. If you've been in one before, sign up for one. Like, the answer is the same for all of those. Please, please, please do those. We also have a members lunch that's coming up. We're doing that now once a month, and we used to do it once every quarter. We realized that we needed to change that, and so we're doing that next weekend. It's going to be after Sunday service. It's a place where you can come. It's not for members. It's for people who would want to be members, and if you're like, I don't like the whole membership thing, you should come and hear what we have to say about it, because we're going to talk about what we believe as a church. We're going to talk about where we stand, some areas that maybe we don't stand on, and we're just kind of like, you know, that's open for debate, and we're going to talk about those. It's also a good chance for you to meet leaders, for us to meet you, to connect, and all that. So come and get some free food and hang out with us and learn where God has placed us and what mission that we're on. We talk about our mission often, but we go into a lot of detail then. So please, please, if you've never been to one of those, join us Sunday afternoon, starting next week, second Sunday. So like I said, we're still in Mark. We're going to be in Mark for the rest of the year. And that's what we've decided. That's what we felt led to go, is to talk about Jesus all this year. So we're in week 15. Can you believe that? Like, it feels like just yesterday I said, we're in week 3, and that's a long ways into this series. And now we're at week 15. That's crazy. I didn't think that I was going to be speaking at week 15, but hey, whatever. This is where it is. There's no surprises. So we're focusing on Jesus all year, and I'll reiterate it again. Always, whenever we're in this series, I can pledge to you, I will tell you why we're doing this. And that is because if Jesus did not come and live a sinless life, die for what we should have died for, raise from the dead, and conquer Satan, conquer sin, conquer hell, and conquer death, we would not be here. And that's why we're talking about Jesus, because we are about Jesus. We are not going to apologize for that. We are not going to say his name less. We are going to say his name more, because that's what we're about. And so we are taking this year to stand on that and say, Jesus, we want to focus on you. We want to learn about you. We want to see you through the lens of this gospel, Mark, which is unique in the sense that God, he's kind of writes like ADD, and he's just like, and then, and immediately, and then he did this, and did this, and he just, you can tell he's excited about the information, and excited about the information to get it out there to us. And so that's what we're doing. We're going to be focusing on this. And this week, we're going to be, like I said, in Mark chapter 6. We're going to be in specifically verses 1 through 13. A little bit of insider information. I at first thought it was just verses 1 through 7. It's a really good thing that I figured that out before I got here last night. So we're going to be going from verses 1 through 13. And my working title for this, and this is really just for me, and I tell you as a spoiler, that this is where we're going. Because whenever I sit down to read, I pray, I ask God that he would direct me in where I'm going. And typically it's just kind of like a picture or words or something. And in this case, as soon as I knew, this was the words that God gave me and said, this is where you're going. So we have a target, and we're going to get there. And the target is this: what do I do when faith walks out on me? What do I do when faith walks out on me? Because we've talked about faith for a few weeks and what we should do to get it and all that. But what do we do when everything collapses? When it seems like there is no hope, there's rejection. Because the perspective here from last week is Jesus was in a place that loved him. Like, he had fame, people had faith in him, he was wowed by their faith, he just changed this woman's identity, he saved her, he saved this little girl, and then he crosses again back to his hometown. And he's done all those things, those faith-filled things, and he's wowed by faith. But he returns home to rejection and question and depression and people not believing in him. So he's gone from this day of being wowed by faith to, as we'll see and we'll read here in a second, to being wowed by the faithlessness of his surroundings. And so what we're about to watch is his atmosphere changing. And it may not seem like, maybe I'm seeing this through a different lens, but I truly have to think that this did eat on him. He was human. Jesus was human. We know that he was 100% human. He was 100% God. But I do believe that this had to eat at him. It had to like affect him in some way. It doesn't say much more than he was amazed by their unbelief. He was amazed by their lack of faith. And we get to see what Jesus does in the face of faithlessness. When faith has walked out and disappeared, we get to see how Jesus reacts. Because when those situations happen, that's all we can control. I can't control what's around me. Jesus couldn't force people to believe in him, but I can choose how I respond and how I react. And that's what we get to step into here. As we read this, we get to step into Jesus and his reaction to faithlessness. So let's read that passage real quick. It says in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. He went away from there and came to his hometown. So he's leaving the place that we just talked about. Came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, not good things. Where did this man get these things? What is this? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? So they knew him. And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could not do mighty works there, except, and this is a really big except, because I wish that this was like the bottom of my barrel, but this is like the bottom of Jesus's barrel. It says, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Like, that's pretty cool, right? Like, yeah, he wasn't able to do anything really good, except that he healed some people. I wish that that was as low as I could go, like just healing people. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Thank you that we get to be here in a place free to read your word, free to discuss it, free to talk about it, free to see how you react in the face of faithlessness. I pray that today you would teach us the things that we need to know from this passage, that you would speak through me, that you would be in all of our hearts, that you would change us, that your word would do what I can't do. I can't convince anyone of anything. But your Holy Spirit can reach deep and can use the words of your word to do powerful things, unique things in each heart in this room. And I pray that you would do so. And that we would walk out of here, that we would spend this day and this week as a changed people, as people that are affected and continually affected by the power of your word and your example. In Jesus' name, amen. This part might be a little bit emotional, and so I'm not going to apologize for that. That's a warning. Like, sometimes if I get emotional, people are like, that's not good. He's so mean all the time, and all of a sudden, he's so sad. And that's okay. There's a time and a place for everything. Have you ever had an amazing day? Who's had an amazing day? Like, you can just think right now, I've had an amazing day. Who's had an average day? Have you ever had one of those? And then, is it like, the day went great or it just went normal? And then the very next day, you didn't know what was going to happen. And to your surprise, all joy is lost. Some piece of news you get, maybe a death, maybe a diagnosis, something. You went from this extreme of awesome to just absolutely the depths of despair. Confused and questioning and not knowing what to do and just wanting to fix it all. I won't ask for hands for that one. If you haven't experienced that, God bless you. I've experienced that a lot in my life. November 15th, 2015 for me was a normal day. It was a Saturday, for those of you that don't memorize your calendars. So all of you. And it was normal. We went about our day as a family, and we went to church that night. It was at our old location, not here, over on Market Street, which is just like dead to me now. I kid. I still like Market Street, but sorry. That just came out, like I said. I cope with sorrow with jokes, so yeah. We went to church. We hung out with friends. It was seemingly a normal day. Still laughing. You won't be in a second. And the very next day was earth-shattering. Because we went to bed a little bit early. We thought, we're not feeling so good. Like, the day was fine, but we want to wake up energized and all that. So our phones were off and all that kind of stuff, and we missed a bunch of phone calls. And I didn't get woke up by my phone. What happened is I got woke up by a pounding on my window. That's not a good way to wake up. We live in a small town, and I've had the cops bang on my door, which is terrifying. I don't know, there's some sort of class that they get on how to knock on a door that just like makes you have a heart attack. And they were just like, hey, your garage door is open, you should probably close it. I'm like, thanks, now I'm gonna die. And you're wonderful for letting me know. But this was different. This was a panicked banging. And I opened the window, you don't even know what to expect at that moment, right? And I see my mom standing in my yard in the rain. Like, well, that's not a place for my mom to be at 3 a.m. And she says, open the door, open the door, open the door. And I go and I open the door, and she comes in, and she's frantic, and she's like, why didn't you answer your phone? Because that's the question you should ask. We lived for so long without cell phones, and now we so rely on them. And like, why didn't you answer your phone? I'm sorry, what's going on? She said, your nephew was just rushed to the hospital. They're there now, and it doesn't look good. This is a 141-day-old kid. And so many things go through your mind at that moment. Like, what do I do? How do I fix this? I had a seemingly normal day, and I woke up to this. What do I do? What can I do? So many things go through your head, like, how am I going to comfort a sibling that's going through this? What do I go there? What do I do? What do I say? What do you say to someone in that moment? But it just keeps coming back to, like, how do I fix this? How do I fix it? What's the answer? This can't be real. Maybe we could go back to yesterday. And we so much so, we walk through this life thinking that we're in control. We do. We constantly think we're in control until we hit that moment that reminds us that we are absolutely not in control. We want to be able to fix the unfixable. We want to be able to put it back the way that it was, because it was so good. Even if it was just average yesterday, it was so good. And then it's gone. Hope is lost. Faith has walked out on us. We have no faith. There's no fixing this. But has faith walked out on us? I mean, that's our perspective, but has it? Because the images of that night, the images of that morning, the images that I had to go through will be with me forever. And it was. I don't know that I want it any other way. I don't. At the same time, I want to fix it, but at the same time, I don't want to forget it. The finality of death in this situation is such a weird thing. I believe that we were created as a people that weren't to experience death, and so it's odd when we do. It's so foreign. no matter how many times we experience it. I've experienced a lot of death. Maybe some of you have. Maybe you haven't. This isn't to scare you at all. It's just this, the reality of this day for me. But when things feel hopeless, when faith walks out, that's when the test begins. When we have no hope, or we feel like we have no hope, that's when the test begins. Now, I alluded to it last week, and I'll say it again. Like, I don't think that God puts these things and makes us have to go through these things in order to test us. But he definitely does use these things. That's when people are watching. They're watching to see what we're going to do, how we're going to react. What are we going to do? Truly, selfishly, down low, probably what they're thinking is, I wonder if they're ready for this. But ready for what? Like, it says in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, and this is going to seem way out of left field, but this is truly what the Holy Spirit put on my heart for this weekend. It says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So how we react in the face of hopelessness is one of our greatest testimonies. Because the circumstance shows us to be out of control, because we are. And any outcome that comes out of what's about to happen truly has to be from God. And so how we react, how we respond, how we answer in the face of hopelessness is one of our greatest testimonies. The last 4 weeks, we've talked about all kinds of faith. Mustard seed, like post-faith, how to have faith, faith inside of fear, all that kind of stuff. And we just came out of this story of Jesus doing some really crazy things. Like, Mark writes about him really fast, but some crazy things were happening that we talked about last week. He heals this woman of 12 years of suffering. Not only does that, he saves her from the people around her. He saves her from the suffering. He saves her and adopts her into his kingdom, and he tells her about it. He changes who she is. And he does the same with this family and this little girl. Like, she's 12 years old. She's lived as long as this lady has suffered. All these things are so faith-filled, and people are so full of faith. And Jesus is moved in the last story by faith. And Jesus healed some people. But that wasn't what it was about. And if it was, he wouldn't have stopped. He wouldn't have explained what was going on. And I've had a lot of people, and I'm not mad at them, and I welcome prayer. I deal with chronic pain constantly. I've been in pain since 2007. I don't say that for you to feel bad for me. I just say that's my reality. And so people will come to me and say, hey, I think we need to pray that you be healed, and I'm all over that. I can accept that. I 100% believe that if Jesus wants to, he can heal me. And he might. But that wasn't his purpose. Because the reality is, this little girl that he saved and brought back to life, this woman that he healed in the suffering, and all the other miracles that he did, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but the blunt truth is all those people died. He didn't save them or bring them back to life forever. It was with a purpose. So the healings were never his purpose. They served a purpose. They pointed to him as God. They proved that he had power over the physical. But they weren't his purpose. His purpose is this. In 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17, and I purposefully kept the whole context of this because I just loved it. It says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, and only God, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus' purpose was to come into the world to save sinners. It wasn't the healings. And if that was Jesus' purpose, if that was Jesus' main goal, if that was Jesus' main mission, it should be ours too. Jesus didn't abandon his mission in the face of faithlessness. Maybe it wasn't as dire as what I just explained, but I truly think that this had to eat at him. Everyone who knew him was questioning him. And so if Jesus didn't abandon his mission in the face of this faithlessness that he was awed by, that it says he was amazed by their lack of faith, neither should we. Jesus, he faced this lack of faith in the first half of what we read. And there was a few things that were going on there. So he was asked to preach. I don't think he barged his way in there. And his people, these people that knew him, they knew of him, they knew where he came from. They wondered where all this was coming from and were asking all of these discouraging questions and really just not believing in him. He was obviously good at it. Like, I don't think that they would have been super mad if he was bad at it. In fact, they were offended because he was good at it. Because they were shocked by his wisdom. And this truly speaks to the fact that his mission really started fairly immediately. Like, they didn't know this was going on. They're like, who is this guy? Like, they hadn't heard about it yet. There had already been stirrings in his family and all that, like, just kind of some strife going on and whatnot. And it says that Jesus, at the end of all that, that he marveled at their unbelief. So last week, he was moved by faith. We saw that. He was moved by people's faith to action. And what we see now is that Jesus is marveling at their lack of faith. Complete polar opposites. But what did he do? Not what would Jesus do. Okay, we're not going to go there. What did Jesus do? Did he fall over and wet himself? Is that too far? Did he go cry in a corner? Did he go seek his mom? Did he beg for them to listen to him? Did he whine? No. He continued to teach the gospel. That was his reaction. Just as he keeps teaching. Because that was the mission. He marveled at their lack of faith. And he did heal some people. There was that little bit of an accept there, but he wasn't able to do much, it says. But it says that he went on to teach. He continues doing what he's supposed to do in the face of faithlessness. When faith walked out, Jesus kept doing what he was supposed to do. Even when people didn't think he was doing the right thing. He kept doing what he knew he needed to do. That was the mission. So what should we do when faith walks out on us? We should keep the mission in mind. We should persist through the resistance. Our mission here at Fellowship Church is this. And if you come to the membership class, you get to hear about it again. We'll talk about it more. But our mission is this, is to connect people to an everlasting, committed relationship with Jesus Christ and with others. The end. That's our mission. That was Jesus' mission. That's our mission. So when things get rough, what do? We keep doing the mission. But Jesus, he didn't react just by teaching, just by preaching the gospel. He believed in his mission so much that he began to teach others what to do too. In the face of faithlessness, he continued and he wanted to multiply things. So what does he do in the face of rejection, face of loss, the face of probably sorrow, lack of control because of these people? He gives direction. He says, I'm going to continue doing the mission, and I'm also going to give direction. So his second reaction, the second thing that Jesus does is to teach others what he just did. Hey, I just did this. Now I'm going to teach you what to do. So he gathers his homies together, and he says, hey, I'm going to send you out two by two. Here's some things you can do. Like I said, I found out at 11 yesterday, so I'm not going to go into any depth of what's going on here. I'm just going to like speak it as it is. Like Jesus told them what they should or shouldn't do, that they should be prepared for the moment. But if things go wrong, keep doing the mission. If someone doesn't listen to you, do what you're supposed to do, even when they don't think you're supposed to. If you know it's right, you keep doing it, and then you move on. You keep doing the mission. I had asked Anthony, I said, hey, could you at least like share like the direction you were going with this message? Because you're way more prepared for this than me at this point. And he sent me his notes, and I admittedly did not read any of them. And I asked for the too long didn't read version, and said, "What's the main point that you wanted to drive home with this message?" And this is what he said. He said, "Persist through resistance, but don't persist so much that you miss out on reaching someone who is receptive." So in the face of faithlessness, we continue doing the mission. We continue to do what we're supposed to do. But at some point, like there is a point to move on. It doesn't mean that we won't come back to it. It doesn't mean that we're just going to give up on something or give up on people or whatever. But we continue doing the mission regardless of the faithlessness. So here's the big idea that I have for us this weekend. As I sat and I prayed and I asked God to show up, that's like been my repetitive prayer all weekend. Just God, show up, because I got nothing else. Like, you. Because sometimes things don't go the way we planned. And if we're being real with each other, most of the time it doesn't go the way we planned it. And sometimes things go way wrong. Whether it's our own fault, whether it's someone else's fault, whether it's like something that we could not control at all, which we have no control. We already talked about that. Like it's something awful happens. And what we do in that spot is so important. What we do when faith walks out, when the world comes crashing down, is so important. What we say is going to be listened to. What we do is going to be watched. How we react is going to be remembered. We can't control others. We obviously can't control many or any of our circumstances. But what we can do in those situations is control what we do and how we react. And understand that that's going to be watched, and understand that that's going to be one of our biggest testimonies. Is that if something good is going to come out of this, it's going to be that God gets glory. And this whole idea of like shaking off the dust, it's just a way of saying, I did what I had to do. I did what I did to stick to the mission, and I'm going to move on, and I'm going to continue doing the mission regardless of my situation. Sometimes the biggest leap of faith that we will be ever asked to take is doing the right thing when everything looks wrong around us. We have to keep our eye on the mission. Regardless if our circumstances and our atmosphere change immediately, or suddenly, or out of our control. And some of you, you walked in here and it's like, number one, you're confused. You're like, this is a weird message. But some of you are really, really, really resonating with what I'm saying. And I have some amazing, amazing friends that I wouldn't say I take advantage of them, but I definitely take advantage of them. And a good friend of mine, he texted me in a time of crisis. He said this simple line. He said, Jesus first, let Satan gain no more ground. Mission first. Don't let any more ground be gained. Would you bow your heads with me? I just want to take a moment to just talk to you in a private spot with nobody looking around. Because I know that some of you are hurting today. There's no chance in a room this big that somebody isn't feeling some amount of pain, some amount of confusion, some amount of questions that you want answered that you don't have the answers for, but you're begging to get them. And I get that. I've been there. But I would ask, you know, in that private space and to yourself, are you doing what is right now, even though you maybe don't have the answers? Are you moving on from a situation that you maybe need to, or are you staying stuck in it and losing track of the mission? And I really don't have any answers for you except to say that Jesus is your only hope. And that is both frustrating and comforting all at the same time. And I would beg of you today, more than ever, get prayer. Get people around you. As we talked about last week, is people can build your faith by just telling you what Jesus has done for them. They can remind you what Jesus has done for you so that he can get you through this too. In the face of faithlessness, you can persist with the mission and continue on. So please, 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 today, get prayer. Find somebody to pray over you. We're going to have prayer up in the left and the right. I said it last night. I'll say it again. I don't think that we take advantage of that enough. I long for the day when so many people are lined up that we have to like add people to that prayer team. And that we have to like schedule extra time to make that happen. I'm okay with that. That's a really good problem to have. But maybe you walked in here and you're like, I don't even know this Jesus you speak of, but I need hope. I can speak from experience. He's the hope you're looking for. And maybe you don't know that yet, but he is. And I want to give you this opportunity now. I'm not going to count to three. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to ask you now, if you're in here and you're like, I need this Jesus you speak of, this Jesus that came, he died, he lived a sinless life, he rose again, he conquered sin, he conquered hell, he conquered death, and he just needs me to believe in him and who he is and that he is God. And I need him in my life. If that's you today, raise your hand now. I want to pray with you. I want to be excited for you. And please, please, please let someone know around you. Come talk to me. Come talk to any leader. We will be excited. We want to help you. We want to be family with you. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for hope when we feel like we have no hope. I pray that today we would learn one thing, and that is that we can count on you. When things look bad, when things look impossible, when things look like they can't be fixed, when things look like we'll never get an answer and there is never a solution, you are way bigger than all of that. You've proven that time and time again, and we wait expectantly for you to reveal to us how you're going to prove it again. God, we love you. In your name, amen. We're going to change again how we're doing things. We're going to stand up here in a minute. Anthony's going to ask us to stand and praise Jesus, the one who makes this all possible. Praise God. Give him glory. In that time, we're going to have communion. It's in the windowsills. I'm told eventually we'll have tables, but for now we have windowsills. Thank Jesus. The way we do that here is you take the wafer, you dip it in the juice. Please don't drink out of the cup. You will be looked at weird. It's happened. Don't be that guy. Dip it in there. This communion is truly a time that we remember what Jesus has done. We remember the broken body and shed blood of Jesus and what he's already done for us. We don't ask that you be a member here. We just ask that you be a Christian, that you believe in Jesus, that he is Lord of your life. Otherwise, it doesn't make a lot of sense to go and remember what he's done for you. We're also going to have the ushers come forward. They can come forward now. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. There's other ways to give that are up on the screen there. A lot of times people give online. They give text to give, sometimes in the buckets. Mostly that's for connection cards, which I didn't mention in the beginning and I was supposed to. So I'll give you instructions now on what to do with those. Connection cards are awesome. They're a way for us to connect with you. They're not a way for us to put you on a spam mailing list of any kind. They're an awesome way for you to write down any prayer requests that you have. We do pray for those. We see God move in amazing ways. I still would ask that you would, you know, come up here and ask for prayer in person. That's going to be even cooler. Does it feel weird? Do you feel awkward? Do you feel like people are looking at you? Yeah, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. We're all family here. But these buckets, normally you can put your connection cards in. If you're a really fast writer or in the back row, you can do that. Or you can put your tithes and offerings in there. We're a church that preaches and believes in giving and generosity. And we preach that unapologetically. We believe that God asks us to give our first and our best and give back to him joyfully because he's given everything that we have to us anyway. And then, like I said before, there's going to be prayer on the left and the right. Please, please, please take advantage of that. Just get prayer. If you don't know what you need prayer for, I guarantee you need something. I just told you a story about getting horrible news the next day. Be ready. Something could happen. We can't control anything. Seek God, seek Jesus today. Give him glory. God, we love you. We give you this time. We give you glory. We trust in you. Amen.
for listening to this message from Fellowship Church. Please consider supporting our mission by visiting us at fconline.tv/give.